And one of my friends challenged me to run a half marathon. I said, I don't know. You think I can do that? He said, sure you can. And so the following year, I ran a half marathon at a race in Washington. And no, I didn't meet very many people. I was 834 out of 1,633 people. So I was right in the middle. A lot of people got beat by an old man. And I felt sorry for him. You know, I was... And then this past year, I was going to run a marathon, and I got the date on the wrong date and messed up and didn't get to even try. So I redid it this year, and Dr. Castleberry and I went up to Leavenworth, Washington last weekend. Joe Castleberry is the president at Northwest University, and he and I ran the marathon there. It was kind of fun. I say kind of because... about the 20th mile, most of my body was hurting so bad that I didn't really care whether I finished or not. But since I'd committed to doing it, and he was behind me, I wasn't going to let him catch me. I finished. And you can see that I lived through it because I'm standing up this week. My body still hurts. I have ran a little bit this week, but not very much. I was... just to tell you how slow I was at it, I was running the half marathon at the famous potato race here in Boise. It starts at Lucky Peak and runs to Ann Morrison Park, 13.1 mile. I'm running down one side of the highway. I'm really clipping along for this old guy. And this girl passed me pushing a baby in a cart. And I felt kind of like, whoa, you know. I tried to stay with her, but I couldn't. She's a lot younger than me. So the other day, I'm on my 25th mile, and this young lady catches me. We're out in this, I don't know what it was, looked like a forest to me, and we're running down this path, and it's 1 mile away from the finish, and I said, well, I finished 25, I'm not giving up now. She said, 25? She said, you're ahead of me, and I've only ran half that far. She passed me, and I couldn't catch her. She asked me my name, and I told her my name was Doyle. She said, I will be cheering for you when you cross the finish line. And she was. She was hollering at me, hey, where to go, Doyle? And I said, whatever. Has nothing to do with anything. I just thought you should know. I appreciate Pastor Brad and Lori. They're wonderful folks. And I've known Pastor Brad for a couple of years. Most of his life, actually. And though I'm not sure that I met him before he was a grade schooler, I have been around Idaho as long as he has. So that just tells you that I came here when I was 4. So that'll come to you in a few minutes. I always bring my grandchildren. I have a picture of them. These are, if you know Stephen, my son, who used to be here at the church. These are his children. The oldest one, the biggest one holding the baby, his name is Zipporah, and she's 4 years old. And the one on her right there, looking up, her left, is Shiloh. Shiloh has blue eyes like her grandfather and likes me best. And the young one there in the middle, looking up at the sky like and smiling, is Tirzah. They're all Bible names. And this is Stephen and Michelle's kids. They are absolutely phenomenal. And I'm not telling you that because I know they're smarter than your kids and all that stuff. They're certainly better looking than some of your grandchildren. I know that. But the fact is, I just want to be reminded that I'm not passing the church off to people like me. That someday I'm going to pass the church off to people like them. And if I'm not relevant to them, and we're not, as a church, relevant to them, we've missed it. And I can tell you this, they do not learn like I do. When Zipporah was 2 years old, she could take her grandmother's iPhone and find the pictures and take pictures with it at 2 years old. 2 years old. They learn differently than I do. I'm just telling you, I didn't even know what a computer was till I got one. And it was a Franklin computer with the 7 1/4 inch floppy disk you put in both sides. Long time ago. Some of you are wondering what that is. Exactly. Exactly. I don't bring them with me to brag about them. They're wonderful kids, and I love them, and we get to see them once in a while since Stephen was backslidden and moved to Pennsylvania. Well, I'm telling you, if we're not relevant to this generation, the church will die. And there's nothing you can do in this building this morning that's going to change my relationship with God unless you kill me, and then I go to be with Jesus. I mean, we can sing hymns or not hymns. We can sing off the wall or out of a book. It doesn't make one bit of difference to me as long as somehow we become relevant to them. Because if we don't pass off a live, vibrant church to them, we've missed it. One of the ways to do that is what your pastor's been teaching about, which is gifts, fruit of the Spirit, this concept of being infused. Infused, by the way, means to pour into. It's a 1500th century word meaning to pour into. And it literally means that you put two compounds together, you pour them together, and it infuses both with both. When I was, long time ago, Julia and I got a chance to go to Vietnam a few years ago, and we were told not to drink the water. Don't drink anything with water on it. Drink bottled water or boiled water because it's not sanitary. So we went to this really nice restaurant with the general superintendent of Vietnam. Seriously. And we're eating and we're just having a great time, and they brought infused water with fruit to the table. Not thinking about that, we drank that water thinking that that infused water with fruit in it was safe. Guess what? The water was safe, but the fruit wasn't. I won't tell you what happened to us. It's not a good scene. But I'm telling you, I just want to tell you it wasn't pleasant. We do need to be infused by the Holy Spirit. We need to allow Him to let His characteristics engulf us to where they come out of us as if it's natural. That's what fruit of the Spirit is. It's the natural flow of God who lives in us coming out in our daily life. It's as if He and I get together and He infuses us, and the things I do are no longer about Doyle, but they're about Him, and they promote His presence in my life. People can see that fruit and pick it right off my life. Galatians chapter 5, you've read this already, but I want to read it again. It says, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Against such there's no law." If you look it up in different versions, it says faithfulness at the end of verse 22. He says, "Against such there's no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." You realize that if you're a Christian and Christ dwells in you, you really can't stop the fruit from working unless you stop it. No outside force can stop it. Nothing outside of me can make me not be a person of the Spirit. I can produce those fruit under any circumstances, in any culture, in any government, in any president, or in any care of Obama. I can still produce those fruit. That was meant to be Obamacare. I just thought some of you are really awake. I want to show you some thoughts about faithfulness today. Faithfulness is infused in my life as I surrender to the Holy Spirit. Faithfulness comes from the very same word where we put our faith in God. It's the same word used for faithfulness in this passage. P-I-S-T-I-S in the Greek. You can pronounce it. I'll just leave it alone. It means conviction or persuasion or consistency. Or constancy, as that word is. It's this whole concept that I do what is right out of my heart. I don't have to try to be faithful. I become faithful. I don't have to try to love. I live out love. I don't have to try to have peace. It's part of the Spirit's rulership in my life, and I live it out wherever I am. Number one, faithfulness in others inspires us to follow the Lord with all our hearts. In other words, have you ever really met somebody that's faithful, how they inspire you, how they convict you, when in a moment of stress they respond with the fruit of the Spirit? I hope I'm not too loud. Does it sound loud? Is that because I'm down here? You don't even care. I can see that. You can count on that kind of person's response. You know, because you know they're faithful. Paul writes, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. I don't know about you guys, but that's a heavy. I don't know if I even want to say that. I don't ever want to explode in front of people. I don't want to chew people out because they do something that's wrong. So far, since I've been on the presbytery, my 24th year, I've only lost my cool one time. I said to a brother who talked to us for 2 hours, never let us inject one single word, I said, if you would shut up and listen to us, we might be able to help you. It's the truth. That's the only time I've ever lost my cool. I got so frustrated because he would not let us talk to him about the problems he was creating in that church. And guess what? He didn't want to talk to us after I said that either. Didn't help. Faithfulness can show itself in worship, the way we worship. Not just when we're here with our hands up singing songs we enjoy, but the way we worship and the way we live out our lives in front of people around us, whether it's our family or our work or our neighborhood. Worship is part of our whole lifestyle, not just something we do at church. People have impacted my life through prayer, by faithfulness to church. We had a lady in the church in Burley who'd been there 54 years. I don't think she had missed 3 Sundays in 54 years. I think that's when she had children and they made her stay in the hospital. Some people are just tithers. People create relationships through faithfulness. Honesty is part of this faithfulness, integrity, the Bible or a biblical lifestyle. Our lives living out in faithfulness impacts other people. Listen to Timothy. Paul is writing to Timothy. Listen to what it says in 2 Timothy 1. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. I'm convinced that faithfulness is something that rubs off on people and causes them to want to be faithful. That's why I put it first here. As when we think about faithfulness, other people's faith inspires us to want to be faith-driven people who serve Christ and let His Spirit flow out of us. So 3 John chapter 1, verse 3 says, it gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in truth. Paul's just simply saying what all preachers know. One of the greatest things you could ever do to pat your pastor on the back is to be faithful. To be faithful to God, be faithful to the church, be faithful in your marriage, be faithful to being what God's asked you to be, whatever that call may be faithful to it. So do you know a really faithful person? This past June, Julia and I had the chance to go to a 75th wedding anniversary party dinner. It was the Lizzie's. Excuse me, I lost it. I lost it there. Brother and sister Lizzie had been married 75 years. I've never even known anybody that had been married 75 years. Brother Lizzie just passed away just a couple of months ago. He was just a few weeks short of 100 years old. But we sat there at their table at the banquet that they put on for people to come and celebrate with them and just listened to them talk about where they had been and watch the video. And we realized these were people, whether we liked them, disliked them, loved the way they preached, didn't love the way they preached, it didn't matter. I could tell you they'd been faithful. They had been faithful to God, faithful to His call, faithful to be what He asked them to be. And it shows because you don't just get married and stay married 75 years without doing something to cause that faithfulness. As most of us who are married know, it's hard work. Got to say that right, though, because she's here. It's hard work. I got it. How do I get out of that? You don't. Thank you. My dad was one of those faithful people. My dad passed away just 7 years ago this past September. He was 80 years old. My dad worked at the same job at the same place for 37 years. He started as a carpenter's helper in a carpenter shop for the state of Texas that built highway signs and rose to be the most powerful man in the place and oversaw it for 15 years. He was a great leader. He was a man who knew how to study. He did not finish high school. He did not go to college. He just knew how to work and how to lead men. But he was faithful. And I remember one time I went into him. And I said, Dad, I really want to play baseball. He said, Son, we just don't have the money for that. I said, Dad, but you got a check laying on top of your dresser for $200 to the church. Why can't we use that? He said, Son, that's my tithe, and we don't give that away. That goes to God. He was faithful. He was just faithful. Didn't matter whether I got to play baseball or not. What mattered was that he was going to be faithful to God. Faithfulness is a pretty cool deal. God establishes the second thing I want you to see. You can just take a moment today sometime. Think about people in your life who've been faithful, who've impacted you. Because faithfulness creates faithfulness and it inspires faithfulness. When I'm faithful, other people see it, they want to be faithful. Number two, God's Word establishes parameters for our faith. We already know what most of those things are because our conscience tells us. Shockingly enough, faithfulness is just one of those things. Matthew 18, Jesus replies to them. He said, he's talking to the man who came and said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, have you considered the commandments Jesus said? Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, oh, I've done all those since I was a boy. The fact is most of us know that the Bible lays out the parameters for faithfulness. We don't even have to be told that it's wrong to commit adultery. Most of us know that without having ever read it in the Scripture. We don't have to be told it's wrong to lie. Lying is just always wrong because it creates issues for people. It's not the right thing to do. I figured out that lying was not your best deal when I was a boy. Because my mother would say, are you lying to me? I said, no, no, no. She said, if you're lying to me, I'm going to whip you. Well, that didn't make me want to tell her the truth. But if you don't tell me you're lying to me, you're going to get a whipping. I mean, it was a no-win situation and I was lying. I never did understand parents that did that kind of stuff. I'm going to talk to him about it when I get to heaven. John chapter 17, he says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. John 8, he says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's as if the Bible gives the parameters, give us the right to live out our life, and we know what it's supposed to look like, and we live it out not because we have to, but because the Spirit of God produces that fruit in us. It infuses us, and what comes out when we're shook are the things of the Spirit. the coolest thing in the world when someone really nails your keister to the wall and you respond with grace and peace and love and joy. True, it's true. I remember sometimes people, you know, they try so hard. I had this guy one time, he's dead. I got to do his funeral a few years ago. He got himself messed up in narcotics and died at 52. But he'd come in for counseling, and I'd sit with his wife and him, and I'd say, "Man, just answer the questions and tell us the truth." He'd say, "If you wouldn't ask so many questions, I wouldn't have to lie to you." He just couldn't tell the truth. It was horrible. He couldn't tell his wife the truth. He couldn't tell me the truth. And he would say that over and over. He said, "If you'd stop asking questions, I wouldn't have to lie to you." He knew it was wrong. But some people are like that. He'd say, "I'm really trying to tell the truth." I said, "But if you just tell the truth, you don't even have to remember which story. You just remember the story. You don't have to remember which one you used last time. You don't even have to try to fake it. You just remember the story and tell it." He never could get it. Never did get it. It's like some people, I really think it's like you just take some time to plow up a part of your lawn and you go out and you plant corn. You just plant corn. You go out every day and you go, "Send me some peas! I hope peas grow!" And they finally, stalks start coming up, and you see that beautiful corn stalk shooting up out of the ground. You say, "Send me some peas!" You guys are getting this, I hope. How ridiculous it is for us to even have to do that, but the fact of the matter is, that's what many of us do. "Oh God, help me be peaceful!" When we refuse to surrender to peace and let it flow out. "Let me have love for that guy. I hate his guts, but I want to love him." Well, but when the love of God is infused in my life, I can love anybody no matter how they treat me. I never have to be rude. I never have to be unkind. I never have to respond and say, "If you just shut up and listen to me, I can help you." I wouldn't have to do that. Send me some peas. I'm convinced that if I let the Holy Spirit infuse my life, faithfulness will become something that I want to do, something that flows out of my very being, and I would be faithful to God, faithful to His Word, faithful to my spouse, faithful to tell the truth, faithful to my taxes. Ooh, that's a tough one. Just faithful to God. Faithful to God. I think I could get into trouble. What time are we supposed to be done? Okay, let's go on. Number three is faithfulness depends on grace. You and I could never ever be good enough to be faithful all the time without the grace of God empowering us to be what He wants us to be by His Spirit. As His Spirit infuses into our lives, faithfulness comes out. Romans chapter 5, He says, "Since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith in this grace in which we now stand." And we boast in the hope of the glory of God, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame. It doesn't disappoint us, because God's love has been poured, infused into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I don't go to God, "God, make me faithful." I surrender to the Holy Spirit and I become faithful. "Oh, God, help me to love people." No, I surrender to His Spirit and I love people because it flows out of my very being. Flows out of my life. I want to leave you with three things that I want to challenge you to do today. I call them takeaways. You can call them anything you want. Isn't church fun? You just ought to be up here sometimes looking out. It's just fun. Some people have smiles on their face. Some people are at work tomorrow already, today. Some people wish they were at work. Some people wish they were at lunch. Others of them wish they had had breakfast. Takeaways. Number one, faith is not instantaneous, but infused over time as we surrender to the Spirit daily. You'll never, ever just be perfect without surrender. That's why Paul says, I die daily. I crucify the flesh every day. I surrender to the person of Jesus Christ. I let His Spirit flow over me every day. I got sick last night. I got up about 11:30 and stayed up till 2, and I just didn't feel good. And I was saying, oh God, would You fill me with the Holy Spirit? Because I'm not feeling good, and I got to speak in the morning, and I would really rather not throw up on anyone. And somebody was sitting about 2 or 3 houses down on the street behind our house playing a bass off of their car stereo that was so loud it penetrated my whole body. Julia couldn't hear it because she's deaf, but it just drove me bananas. And I almost called the police to say, could you come check who those people are? Why are they sitting down there at 1 o'clock in the morning playing their stereo? But they finally quit. Okay, that has nothing to do with anything. I just brought it up because I was saying last night, God, please, I want to surrender to Your Holy Spirit. I want to be infused over time. I want Your fruit to flow out of me so that when I'm brushed, they don't get thorns, they get fruit. So that when my life is out there in the public, they get to feel the person of Jesus rather than my flesh coming back. The second thing is, allow someone to see you live out faithfulness this week. Allow someone to see you live out faithfulness this week. Whether it's a family member or a job person or somebody at this place or at school or at work or wherever you may be, let them see you live out faithfulness. We know what it is. We don't have any problem with it. We understand faithfulness. Sometimes faithfulness is just a decision. We just wake up one morning and say, you know, I'm going to do it today. Because the Holy Spirit's inside of me, I'm going to produce this fruit of faithfulness. So I'm going to give it to somebody. It's going to inspire them. I don't know about you guys, but I like being around people who are faithful. They're faithful. They're faithful. And the last takeaway is simply biblical. Faithfulness always begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. It begins with me surrendering to Him, me giving up everything to follow Him, me allowing Him in my life to soak and steep so that the two liquids, His Holy Spirit and my spirit, extract all of the soluble properties and ingredients and make them one so that when someone walks up into my presence, they get the fruit of the Spirit that comes back out of me, out of my life flowing into them, because biblical faithfulness begins with that relationship with Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the time together this morning. Thank You for a great group of people, their attentiveness. We thank You for the Scripture today, Lord, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance, and gentleness. God, we just thank You for those. There's no law against them. No outside force can stop me because it's an infusion of Your Holy Spirit in my life. And Lord, I want that in my life. I pray today, Lord, that You would speak to us about faithfulness in our lives. That we would commit ourselves to being faithful to You. Faithful to You, faithful to those around us, that we could inspire every person that meets us to follow Christ because of that faithfulness. God, I thank You for that now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I thank You for it. I thank You for it. Let's ask God to penetrate our lives this morning as we surrender to Him. And if by pouring, God would infuse His Holy Spirit into our life and penetrate the very recesses of our life. Guys, we control those. We can hang on to them and not make them open to the Spirit's moving, or we can surrender those portions of our life to God. I've heard people say, well, you know, I've got a little short temper because I'm Irish. No, you're just not surrendered to the Spirit. That's what you're really saying. Sometimes God just wants to infuse us. And I want to give us that opportunity today. Father, thank You that You do infuse our lives with Your Spirit. We humble ourselves to You right now. Lord, we ask You to come into our life with freshness and wholeness and with power. We ask You to speak to us, Lord, in the power of Your Holy Spirit. God, make us faithful. Make us faithful as we surrender to You. Let faithfulness flow out of our lives. God, let us be faithful inspirations to the young people in this church, faithful inspirations to the people in our workplace, faithful inspiration to those that live around us in our neighborhood. Make us faithful today, Lord. I surrender to You now. I surrender my life, my heart, my mind, my spirit. I want to be faithful to You, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. I got a chance to teach at Northwest a few months ago with Mark in the class, and I like this guy's mind. I didn't say I like him, I just like his mind. And he definitely has an opinion. I got to teach about Pentecostal spirituality, right? Wasn't that the class I taught? And wow, I had a great time in there. And Pastor Mark asked penetrating questions, already knew what he believed. I'm sure he was challenged to think differently, but he already knew what he believed, as I already know what I believe. But it's good to be able to answer those things. And I was just thrilled to be a part of that. You know, today we're going to honor Pastor Mark Bridgewater with credentials. And I just want you to know, credentials never qualify people. They don't qualify people for ministry, but what we really do with credentials is we recognize what God is doing in someone's life. And so that's what we want to do today. There's certain characteristics that the call of God is upon someone's life for vocational ministry. And Mark, I think, has shown that clear call to a life for ministry in the future. So first, we want to talk about credentials speaking to a lifestyle. A lifestyle that's congruent with biblical examples and commands. The Bible asks us that ministers be the husband of one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness. I'm a little worried about that one. It's meant to be funny. Just kidding. Not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He manages his own family and his children, obey him with proper respect. He must not be a recent convert. We know that's true with Pastor Mark. He must have a good reputation with outsiders. Hope that's true. Think it is. So today we're not recognizing perfection in him or in any other person, but we're recognizing a person who's striving to live holy and above reproach. And I think that's true of Pastor Mark. I really do. Secondly, we recognize people who are doing ministry. In other words, we're not saying, oh, Pastor Mark, you can go out and do a little ministry now. I think he's already been doing that here. In fact, I know that he was on the board when my son was here working here. And I heard about you. Most of it was good. We credential him today not because he's getting ready to do ministry, but because he's already participating in ministry in the local church. The disciples always recognized people for ministry based on service. So today we recognize Pastor Mark and Lori, who are currently involved in the ministry of a local church and have been for a long time. And then, the third thing about credentials, credentials really monitor doctrine. Monitor doctrine. I love the doctrine. I like to study it, like to preach it, like to think about it. I'm more convinced that doctrine is more important than we can imagine as I look at churches around our state whose focus is shifted off of a good, solid doctrine. And they love God, they care about Him, but their focus is wrong, and they're leading the church a different direction than it should be. Just telling you. Doctrine's really important. We believe in 16 fundamental truths. We ask that ministers in the Assemblies of God just adhere and proclaim those truths of doctrine. Every minister should commit to becoming a lifelong learner. And I know Pastor Mark's done that because he, at a late time in his life, he's old. And he's in Bible school now. He knows I'm joking. So, it's your lifelong learner understanding that it's not the end of study, but it's only the beginning. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's more important than we can ever imagine. Now, Mark has completed the educational requirements for the license to preach. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, be diligent in these matters. He's talking about those things. Preaching, word, that stuff. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. That's why credentials are important, because they speak to those kinds of things. So today, we want to, with great pleasure, present to Mark and to Lori, because she had to put up with him through this whole process, present to him this license to preach on behalf of the General Council of the Assemblies of God in the Southern Idaho District. We do that, and we're going to pray for it.
All right. Thank you.
Hang on. We're not done yet. Maybe we should do that. What I'd like to do is invite all the credential ministers that are here, Brother Russell.
That's my son-in-law.
You got to be careful doing those things. Get you in trouble. Those pictures show up in strange places. I'd like to invite all the credential ministers and the board members that are here. Would you guys just come? Brother John, bring your wives with you. Pastor, you guys come and gather around him here. Now let's pray for them. Ministry doesn't happen at the district. Ministry doesn't happen at the district. The church created the district. The church created the district, and the church is where ministry takes place. Thanks for coming up. Let's lay hands on them. And I'm going to pray, and you guys pray also with them, for them. Father, thank you today for your wonderful presence. Thank you for the call of God that you have placed upon Mark. We thank you for his call and for Lori and the things you're doing in their lives. We know, Lord, that even in this moment, they're stepping out by faith to believe you for ministry in their future in a different way. We pray your blessing upon them today, that you would give him a passion for your word, a desire for your power, a dynamic presence of the Holy Spirit that would rest upon him. And as we lay hands upon him, even in this moment now, Lord, let your Holy Spirit rest upon him come with power, with grace, with authority. Let the fruit of the Spirit live out of him with such grace that people would be drawn to Christ because of his life. God bless him today, and in the future of ministry that you call him to, whatever that looks like, we pray your blessing upon him, that many people would come to Christ, lives would be changed, hearts would be touched, people would be completely, completely drawn to you through the ministry you give. Pastor Mark and Lori, bless them today. In Jesus' name we pray, we believe you for it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.